Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. So we've just had this incredible week with the Sagittarius Sun square to kind of delusional Neptune on the 18th. And, you know, definitely that Sagittarius Sun with all of its extra energy, its enthusiasm, its high hopes, its glass half full in a square to the delusion that is Neptune in Pisces. And what do we get? We get skies full of drones where nobody claims to know what is going on really. And that aspect that nobody's claiming it, that's quite incredible for me. And that's very Neptune in Pisces for sure. And really, the square to Neptune is adding and enhancing and calling this unbelievable vision of it all to kind of like an almost like a creative. It's going to have or has had its own life of, you know, unbelievable imagination of people, everyone kind of looking up to the skies at what is going on. But on top of that, I have seen, and I'm not sure if these are real or not, but in some filmed, you know, on the internet, beautiful, fantastic orbs in the sky, glimmering orbs. They just look really incredible. You know, I'm not sure whether they're real or someone's made them up, or this is enthusiasts getting in on the action of this major sky watching community thing that's going on in America. Because the sky seems to be birthing a new portal. It's like there's a wormhole being created in the sky for access, maybe potentially these to be coming through to us. Really, this is what I was expecting or hoping for when we come to the last days of Neptune in Pisces. This is what I was thinking, this kind of opening, this is like an opening or a doorway could bring about some interdimensional connections, where we could go into new areas of consciousness where we don't really know what the hell is going on. And of course, if we went into new dimensions just like that really quickly, I'm sure we wouldn't know how to behave or how to use the energies and, you know, how to be, just like anyone landing in a new dimension would go, what the hell? How am I going to cope? So that's for me is really sort of highlighting that Pisces, Neptune in the last days of Pisces. And, you know, let's enjoy the show because I think there is going to be more of this. And maybe I was thinking as well that since the outgoing administration in America is upping the possibilities of nuclear war and seemingly courting war in their last days in power, that perhaps this drone activity is arising out of the need to curtail any of the nuclear missile action that could be going on, or activating the warheads, or any kind of, you know, deactivating any kind of warmongering that's been going on. Maybe this is off-planet beings working in our favor and trying to stop the augmentation of war, and they're denying all knowledge of it. You know, surely more is going on than they are letting on. They must know more than they are saying, of course. And of course, this is all, I guess, as expected, because I guess all of this is expected when you look at the stars, when you look at what the planets are doing, because the lovely Venus in wild and cosmically aligned Aquarius, as well as Pluto in Aquarius, but Venus is making a flowing trine to Jupiter in Gemini at 14 degrees on Friday the 19th. And so it's like the Thursday the 18th, Saturday the 20th. Well, so she is around that time making a really lovely trine. So these are the two benefics, Venus and Jupiter working together. So we're bound to see some quirky events being played out on a larger scale and being watched by all, but by watch everyone via the media, since this is Jupiter in Gemini who rules the media. But what else in your own world on a personal level is being discussed at a higher level than perhaps you would like if you have planets mid-sign? Is that actually happening for you as well? Can you see what is going on the larger scale, perhaps happening in your own life? Or maybe it's turning that if you are indeed getting lots of good ideas and you can't choose which one, you know, here you're getting options, Gemini options, even though they may look all a bit crazy, Venus in Aquarius. And maybe you think you cannot handle the practical side of some of these options. Because I would say, you know, the practical in this, in these aspects is kind of missing in astrology right now. There isn't much practical going on with the planets. We're going to have to look for, you know, where are we going to get stuff done? We've got the Sun and Mercury in Sagittarius, who is has the, all the enthusiasm, but possibly not the logistics. We've got Mars going in retrograde, and in retrograde, it's like we're not taking action. We've got Venus and Pluto in Aquarius, that obviously they like to mix things up a little bit. They're quite quirky. It's not practical. And we have Saturn, who could be practical, and Neptune, who is definitely not, in Pisces, who is definitely not practical. So then we have Jupiter making a good old mix-up for us all to start talking about things in Gemini. So, you know, we're not in a kind of let's get stuff done and, you know, make things happen, let's make plans. We're missing that Virgo element and maybe the Capricorn element too. It's not coming until the Virgo, the Capricorn new moon on the 30th. We have had a good week nonetheless, and this has been such a good week moving towards the solstice. And the Venus trine Jupiter in Gemini is really a beneficial aspect and is great for the air signs, which is the beautiful thing. And, you know, Venus trine Jupiter in Gemini, quirky, funny, and unexpected ideas coming through. And you, like, for instance, this sort of creative urge has come through in the UK, because you may know that our new government have gone back on their words. They're taxing everything. They are the high tax party, taxing the poor too. Saying that the poor are the rich. It's like, no, no, you, if you own a home and it's worth 125,000, it isn't necessarily rich. That's quite a low entry level. Anyway, even though the UK has the highest energy, domestic energy prices in the world, the government has stopped the old age pensioners getting an energy allowance. So they have to pay the full bills that everyone else does. And of course, they then choose, should I put the heating on or should I go and have supper? But this has been raging in the UK, this debate, and somebody has had the creativity to put together and release a single, which is a parody of It Will Be Lonely This Christmas Without You by Elvis, the one and only, the king. But of course, it's not It'll Be Lonely This Christmas Without You. It's going to be It'll Be Freezing This Christmas Without the Heating On. And it was created by a guy called Chris Middleton. And he put it together with a vocalist who kind of got on board and went, oh my God, I love it. And they called themselves Sir Starmer and the Granny Harmers. And they're raising funds for Age UK, which is a British charity that helps the elderly and will surely be helping the elderly with their heating bills this winter, or going to help them insulate themselves in some way. So that's Age UK and this single, this Elvis take. So this is obviously very a creative spurt with Jupiter in Gemini, Venus in Aquarius, and it's kind of grabbed hold of the psyche of the British. But so it's almost getting to number one in the charts. But the BBC doesn't want to play the single because it's obviously it features a two-tier Keir, as he's now known, Keir Starmer. He's featured in it heavily. And so the BBC doesn't want to play the single because they're very pro the government. But they're going to have to be forced to play it if it gets to number one. So if you come across that, please do go out and download it or buy it so that your money will go to Age UK. It will go to the elderly, the pensioners and that charity. And potentially we can get this record to number one for this winter, for this Christmas, because you know the Christmas number one is very important. And, you know, we're going to do some good with this single that's come out. So I thought, yeah, this is Venus, the creative force in Aquarius, going a bit quirky, going a bit subversive, and being enhanced by the media that is Jupiter in Gemini to give us this parody song. So that's all good for Sir Starmer and the Granny Harmers. And this is all happening while Mars is retrograde. So this is a tricky, subversive game to be playing in the week before Christmas and the week running up to solstice. And yeah, I really do love solstice. Here we are again. Of course, in the UK, we are in quite darkness, but I have put up all the fairy lights in the house. My whole house is covered in fairy lights right now, on the inside, not the outside. And I generally go to spend solstice, usually at Stonehenge, which is a spectacular thing to do. And it's getting more and more popular. And I really love the fact that people are enjoying that spectacle that is the sun returning and honouring this, especially when you're in deepest, darkest winter. Australia, you have no idea what we go through here in this darkness, surely is, and the coldness. But, you know, even if these people are coming along to Stonehenge and they don't really know what's going on, it doesn't matter, does it, that they are still honouring that or getting an inkling into how it is for our ancestors, how it was when they were coming out of winter and observing the solstice. And solstice is Latin for the sun standing still, because it doesn't actually return in the Northern Hemisphere for 4 days after the solstice, actually. So it's in stillness rather than the returning. Although we celebrate that dawn of it coming, it's, yay, it's coming back. We're getting some sun. You know how in Britain we love the sun and how it evades us. So we are at this standstill, this solstice. And the solstice, the actual point of the solstice, is on the 21st of December. It's at 9:21 in the morning. I've had some varied confirmation on that, 9:19, 9:21, it's at that time. And it is measured, actually, because the sun is going to be still for 4 days, and this is the first day of that. And obviously the day it comes back is Christmas Day, when the sun returns, the light of the world returns. It is measured by when the sun reaches its most northerly aspect, or rather is that the earth tilting most southerly to get to that point for 4 days, and that point relative to the celestial equator. So, you know, we've got the Tropic of Capricorn, which is above the equator, Tropic of Cancer below. So it's when the earth has tilted rather than the sun, of course, the earth has tilted so that the sun faces the tropic. So the tropic has faced the Tropic of Capricorn, Capricorn being at the lower rung of that. Did I say that right? We have the equator. Yeah. So the equator is at even, and when it tilts back, the sun faces the Tropic of Capricorn. And just like the equinoxes, when the sun moves into Aries and Libra, and the June solstice is when the sun is at the most southerly angle, it enters Cancer. And here in this solstice, we are entering Capricorn, of course. This is when the sun enters Capricorn. Now, if you follow Vedic astrology, the astrology does not connect to the seasons on Earth or where the sun will be within that calendar, as it's roughly at the moment 24 degrees behind. So it's around 6 degrees Sagittarius in Vedic astrology, and it's going to drop back a degree every 72 years. And whilst I always argue that all charts are relevant, and they are, it's really good to look at different charts to get more of an aspect of things, and Vedic astrology does have its place. Honouring what is happening on Earth in regards to its relationship to the sun and the whole year is part of how tropical astrology works. It's like where we are, not only in our year, but in our 26,000 year wobble, that we are going to come back to this place, that we are keeping a standpoint. And that's one kind of evolutionary step, one evolutionary breath, if you like. So this is what we, this breath, this circle is allowing us to focus on what we are going through collectively as humans on Earth by that 26,000 year breath, which relates to our own breath, which relates to our own year. But also it relates, of course, individually, all of us, via our astrology charts. So it's the collective and the individual. And of course, we can measure the sun at the solstice. It allows us to measure where we are in places like Newgrange in Ireland or Stonehenge and various points around the world that connect to the timing of the equinoxes and the solstices. So yeah, so this solstice is going to be 21st of December, recorded at 9:19, but on astro.com when I worked it out, it was 9:21. Let's call it 9:20. I feel like this is a really good day to rise at dawn, which is couple of hours or an hour even. It's not that rising at dawn is not necessarily a thing that's going to harm you in the winter, because it's around 7:30, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I think it is. And that's not too hard. So it's a really good day to rise at dawn and of the passages of time. And of course, the ancients would see the sun standing still and take it as a time to really take stock of what was happening, to go to ground. Because in the north, here, it's hibernation time. So a real time for go inwards and a time for contemplation, because we're held still, hold still like the sun. And the sun is our vital force. So when we recognize it as holding still, holding a place, before it returns, it's a time for us to take that stock as well and process on it more inward and not in an inward plane. So that holding that space and being still, so you can look at what is occurring around you. And of course, that goes for both northern and southern. This, because in the south, in the southern hemisphere, of course, there will, some will be standing still also before it returns. And so therefore, but actually the sun will be at its brightest and its most vital. So potentially much more of a time for celebration. Go for it. Go for it. But anyway, this year, I'm not going to go to the solstice of Stonehenge because I want to feel a little bit more hibernatory. I am going to get up at dawn, 8 o'clock before then, I'm sure, and watch the sunrise in my back garden. And it rises beautifully over the local church. It's phenomenal, actually, the back garden here. So that's what I'm going to do. So I wanted to mention then, moving on to Christmas after the solstice, that as much as we might enjoy it, be still enjoying that stillness. I think there will be outside forces with the planets going, hello, wake up. There's things to do. There's action to be taken. Even though we don't have, well, we will have the sun in Capricorn by then to give us some practical progress for things or some goals in mind. So we've had some beneficial astrological days, and I hate to call them beneficial or negative days, but over Christmas, there will be quite a few oppositions and squares going on. And whilst we know this means you can expect some confrontational events, or at least surprising ideas or situations that you might not have planned for, but will end up dealing with throughout Christmas, it could also be used to see how far you have come, to be used for inspiration. You know, when you're there watching someone who is triggered and you go, well, I don't necessarily need to be triggered. I'm going to help them. But this is how far I have come because now I don't need to join in this, in that sense that you are helping, but not actually being on the same emotional roller coaster. And perhaps this is a time to turn a corner with these squares and oppositions, you know, that they can provide a new energy that you have to deal with rather than fearing them and or thinking that they could go bad. Because over Christmas, we have Jupiter retrograde is in Gemini, as we know, and it's going to be squaring Saturn in Pisces at 14 degrees. And Jupiter obviously is expansive and Saturn is restrictive. So seemingly these are two opposing forces. One wants to go out and go, yes, and one goes, hold on a minute, let's not. And yet somewhere in between, when they're in a square, there must be this creative spark, this initiatory element, where they rub against each other in the square, like yes and no coming together. You know, you get to take the action perhaps then against all odds or out of inaction where you felt I can't move on and now I can. Or, you know, you find your path within that balance. But it's kind of like as a tussle there. It's kapow. There is creativity within that and the ability to move things or shift, even if that's just shifting a mindset, because we are talking about Gemini here and potentially emotional ideas in Saturn in Pisces. So we've got that square happening over Christmas, 24th, 25th. And Chiron in Aries at 19 degrees is opposed to our girl Lilith. Lilith in Libra. She's in Libra now at 19 degrees. So they're both exact at 24th, 25th. So she might be going to the ends of the earth here to maintain the peace, to keep equilibrium, which, you know, Lilith, when Lilith says you got to do it, Lilith in Libra, you know, it's like she's in Libra, she's rolling her eyeballs at situations that draw us out of balance. And she's saying, you know, get in line. Don't bring your issues out here. Don't bring them up for us all to deal with. Keep in your balance. You know, do it. Don't bring this stuff here. Especially as she opposes Chiron, who is the wound. She's like, none of that stuff, please. It might be she might be the controlling element, the, you know, to the out of control healing or perhaps even victimhood in Aries. And it might be exactly what that person or that situation needs to hear. Keep the balance while you are healing. Don't draw everyone else into it. So that's Chiron and Libra having a little tussle over Christmas. And that is at 19 degrees. So we've got a 14 degrees, we've got a 19 degrees. Mars obviously is also in opposition to Pluto, which we know is a long-term aspect and will be with us for another couple of months. And again, this just has to goad us into addressing deeper issues about who we are in Leo within the greater society, Aquarius, and then having to look out at, you know, our emotional landscape when Mars retrogrades back into Cancer in the new year. So we've got that opposition as well going on over Christmas. And then we've got Mercury opposing Jupiter retrograde, who is, as we've just said, squaring Saturn. And this is Mercury opposite Jupiter is the gift that's going to keep giving right now. And as we can see, it is with, you know, dronescapes in the sky and mad parody singles for Christmas, you know. So this media kerfuffle about drones, about the government, all those things will continue, of course. And with the opposition, you know, this not wanting to highlight how bad the government is by that parody single, or not wanting to expose what the government is up to, you know, is going to continue with this aspect. Here are the Gemini facts being writ large, you know, looking obvious, and there may be multiple facts and multiple facets to that. But here is what we want you to think and believe with the Sun and Mercury in Sagittarius. But actually, by that time, it would just be Mercury. So it's like the layers of truth against the layers of what you believe. And there's going to be challenges to that. But obviously, Jupiter and Gemini is really showing us what the media want us to see, and then other sources of media challenging that. So that's going to be quite exciting and interesting to watch. Then on the 26th of December, Mercury is going to be in exact opposition to Jupiter. So, you know, that's the Boxing Day papers, which is quite a big thing in the UK, that they come out with the papers of what was going on over Christmas. And, you know, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is no longer, we don't actually have an Archbishop of Canterbury at the moment, but because obviously he was involved in covering up sexual scandals, and the Archbishop of somebody else, you know, two Archbishops are now under scrutiny for not looking into or hiding the sexual scandals. Oh my God. So anyway, so we all might not be having the one of our clergy coming forward for that. But definitely there was always sort of Christmas Day speeches to be considered. And so that exact Mercury-Jupiter opposition is exact at 13 degrees, which Jupiter is in retrograde. So it's moved a degree back. And then on the same day, Mercury, still in the shadow zone, will be making a square to Saturn in Pisces. So Mercury's moved on a degree to square Pisces, but really they're all in this together. So we've got Jupiter and Mercury opposing each other, but we've got Saturn on the side in the T-square to that, squaring both of them. And Saturn in the middle like that is kind of like, sort it out, guys. Trying to be the voice of reason here, Saturn, being fatherly. But in Pisces, you know, that fatherly aspect is almost like too much. It isn't needed or wanted. You know, Saturn is trying, but I think, you know, it's like trying to put a marshmallow through a keyhole. It's kind of not going to work. So I feel like that's where the media or the governments are getting it wrong. Those Saturn ideas, they're trying to be authoritative, but actually nobody's listening because of the T-square, but because also Saturn is in Pisces and doesn't want to be ruled. Or will take the rulership to a certain degree and then go, no, you can't. So these are all happening in mid-signs. And these, if you have planets or angles, sun or luminaries in mid-signs, you're going to might feel this is quite punchy for yourself and probably keep things very interesting. Interesting being a slight euphemism here, fruity or exciting. So let's see what it does bring. But this obviously then takes us up to the new moon in Capricorn on the 30th. And I'm going to speak more about that in the next episode. But this new moon is sextile its own ruler, Saturn, and will be conjunct the asteroid Pholus. Pholus is the, and you know, if ever you see Pholus in your chart, you just go, that's the popping of the cord. This is the information or something coming out that you couldn't put a lid on. Like it's once you've taken the cork off, it's like a Pandora's box. Something has to come out and it's going to take on a life of its own. And in that, it could be drunken revelry that you cannot put a lid on, because that was Hercules' drunken revelry that we are now understanding part of Pholus's story, because Pholus had all this sacred wine that he was given and he was meant to keep it in this cave where no one could access it so that he could use it for more appropriate use. But Hercules finds it, drinks it. And of course, Hercules getting drunk isn't like you or I getting drunk. It's like powerful drunk. He got super inebriated. And then the centaurs around him, who were very sensitive to alcohol, apparently, they also just got drunk because Hercules was drunk. They actually sort of got inebriated by Hercules' power being around them in such kind of wild excess. And so they all got drunk and they went on a rampage, but Hercules killed most of them when they went into the cave to find more alcohol. So that's your popping of the cork, which is the new moon conjunct. So this is in Capricorn. I think this is a whole lot of Pandora's box of surprises here. Possibly, I think, a revelation of sorts, the revelation of lies that come out from our government that's going to be the cork that's popped. And maybe, I mean, I'm saying it's government because it's Capricorn, and perhaps there is a full disclosure here, or they have to talk about an announcement from the government popping. That pholos cork just comes out and then it's going to take a life of its own at the new moon, at the Capricorn new moon. So watch this space. It could literally be coming from our governments, this popping cork thing. So that brings us up to the 30th, and I will talk about more of that in the next episode. But I want to remind you too that we are coming to the 12 holy nights, and that the 12 holy nights are related to the angelic realm, and they work through the zodiac signs to take us from Christmas Day to January the 6th, which is Epiphany, the actual crowning of the royal king of heaven on earth. Whereas Christmas, on that Christmas Day, the physical man is born. So there's a difference here with the 6th of January, because you know, in the rest of Europe, they, in Spain, I know, they open their presents on the 6th of January. That is the day you open your presents. Whereas here, and then somewhere in Europe, they open the presents on Christmas Eve, where a big Christmas Day is here in the UK, and I think in Australia too. And you guys in America are all doing most of yours on the 24th of November. We do feel quite jealous when you start to have nice family gatherings earlier on in November. But anyway, so this is our time, I guess, on various levels, from the Christmas Eve even, right through to the 6th of January, we're all celebrating. And I have done lectures and held sort of meditation courses through these 12 holy nights, because they follow through from Christmas Day being the Pisces, and each has a theme which allows one to bring in the Christ codes. Now, the Christ codes being the most important element of progress for your own evolution here on Earth, to embody and connect to the Christ codes. It's like it's the way back to source to embody that. Now, so let me know if you want more information on this, but I will be probably posting on Instagram or doing a newsletter on this. But in essence, there are 12 meditations to do, taking in each of the signs and the angel it relates to. And it starts with Pisces, relating to the human, in our way that humans are due to become the 10th layer of angels in the angelic realm, in the choir. And Pisces is on Christmas Day. However, just before that, on these 12 holy nights, on Christmas Eve, there is a cleansing that we can all do, invoking Archangel Michael. Now, Archangel Michael is here in this era, helping us to protect us and to fight against the dark forces. And on Christmas Eve, you can invoke Archangel Michael to help you clear all materialistic tendencies, which I think is a bit late, but he has been doing battle that for us. He helps you clear all materialistic tendencies and also darkness, dark forces and entities that come attached to you from the entire year, so that we may enter these holy nights without the oppression, the drudgery, the sadness or the unhappiness, the darkness, the shadow forces of the year leading up to Christmas. And we invoke Archangel and be cleansed. And therefore, when we encounter the angels via the zodiac through the 12 holy nights, we are super cleansed. And then, so we get to Christmas Day. Christmas Day is Pisces, and we are invoking that angelic aspect of the human. And we go to Aquarius on Boxing Day. And Aquarius in the zodiac relates to how we see the angelic realm, the perfected human, and is the spirits of life. And then we've got 27th, we've got the Capricorn, represented by the archangels, who are the spirits of fire. And obviously, Archangel Michael is one of those. then to Sagittarius. Sagittarius is on the 28th and connected to, represented by the Archai, the spirits of personality, and the Archai above the archangels. We then go to Scorpio, and these are the excusi, or the creator gods. They're also called the powers. They are the spirits of form. And there's this beautiful painting of that by William Blake of Yahweh, or the Elohim creator gods, breathing life into the clay that is going to be Adam. So it's bringing it to life. So that was the creator gods in Scorpio. We go to Libra, and these are the dynamists, and they are the virtues and spirits of motion. Of course, like the music of the spheres, they keep things in regular motion. Moving on to Virgo. And Virgo is allowing us to have the precise attitude to move towards the Christ codes, to go in the right direction. And these are the Kyriotetes, or the dominions, spirits of wisdom. And then we get to Leo. This is then we go into a different level. So the first three, the angels, the archangels, the Archai, are one level. Then the excusi, the dynamis, the Kyriotetes are next level. And then we move on to the next level, where it's Leo, the spirits of will. And these are called the thrones. And the thrones are not even in physical form. They are described in the Bible as gold rings with eyes glistening. Sound amazing. And then we move on to Cancer. This is spirits of love. And this is the seraphim. We're much more aware of the seraphim. And these are often seen with six wings, six blue wings. And they're often painted in churches. You'll see the six wings. Well, now I've said it, you'll see it somewhere. And then Gemini, which is the 3rd of January now. And that's the cherubim and the spirits of harmony. And obviously the Gemini, the moving through different aspects of ideas to create that harmony. We come to the next layer, which is then Taurus on the 4th of January. Taurus is the Holy Spirit that's within the land, within nature of Taurus, of course. And then we get to Aries on the 5th. Aries is the Lamb of God, the incarnation of humanity here, which is, and these are holy nights, so that's the 5th, because on the 6th we've got Epiphany, when the kings arrive and crown Jesus as the King of Heaven. It's like that's the Christ energy really being embedded. So these 12 holy nights and the Epiphany at one end and Archangel Michael's invocation to clear the darkness on the other. I'll be talking more about this. And if you want to join in, I can send you information so that we could all do it together. It doesn't take long to do the meditations. So yeah, I feel it's a really good thing to do throughout Christmas. One, to take track of the days, because we all lose time. If you're really celebrating Christmas and have all that time off, you are losing track of the days. But also it helps bring the spiritual aspect back into the whole Christmas period, which, you know, I think the materialism has gone way far for this to happen, but we still want to enjoy it, of course, too. So it creates a nice balance. So hopefully I'll see you there. And thank you so much for listening. And I really hope you have a beautiful solstice and a beautiful Christmas. And I'll see you in the next episode.